Tonight to Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1, I want you to stay with me. I want to look at a couple things, and I want to, Wednesday night a lot of times we like to look at it as a Bible study. We like to look into the Bible and see some things and some truths that we can pull out that we can better understand who we are and what we are and what God's done. Let me ask you this, if I was to ask somebody to share with the church just one thing that Lord's blessed you with, what would you say?
Save my soul. Save
your soul? Huh?
Home in heaven.
Home in heaven. You know, sometimes you see people and they say, I'm blessed. And sometimes they say that in relationships to a new car. Sometimes they say it to a new job. Sometimes they say it to a health body, the fact they're alive, many, many other things. But all those are temporal blessings. Those things cannot bring true happiness because your car will get old. Your car will break down. Your car will dent up. Sometimes you say, well, I'm blessed with a family. Well, sometimes issues happen there. Your health, you will get older. You will die. All those are temporary things. But tonight, we want to look at real blessings. We want to look at spiritual blessings. All of us that are saved have these. Begin reading, if you would, in chapter 1. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now remember, when the disciples asked him, how shall we pray? Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The thing that we're waiting for is to the kingdom of heaven that be down earth and Christ reigning in that kingdom. Amen. That's the promise of Israel's looking for. They're looking for the Messiah to come, for him to reign, and Israel to be saved in a day, and Christ to do the things that he's promised, and he will sit upon the throne of David, and he will be the seed of David. All those things are things that Israel are looking for as we speak. But let's begin continue reading verse 11. In whom also we, notice that little word we, have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye, notice that word ye, also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were saved with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now I tell you what, we run into a lot of words that a lot of doctrines have been built upon, And so tonight I want to look at some truths here, and I hope to break this down and let you see some truths that will help you and help you better understand the teaching in this chapter, but also help you better understand this idea of predestination, this idea of being chosen, this idea that so many people uses of the election and all that, the foreknowledge of God and all those things that they throw in, because there is this train of thought and teaching and believing that some are predestined to be saved, some are predestined to be lost, and therefore the choice is in God's hands, it's not in our hands. But tonight we want to look at something and contradict that doctrine a little bit. But first let's begin in verse number 3, and that's the primary verse I want to go from tonight, but I want to break it on down after that. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, to be blessed means he's worthy of praise. In other words, he has given us benefits, and those benefits that we have received from God is worthy to give him praise. But now notice what it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us." Now it's important to look at that little phrase, "who hath blessed us." It goes past tense, but it also, when you study this scripture out, it is also an active sense. In other words, we have been blessed, we are being blessed, and we will continue to be blessed. Now notice here, it says, "hath blessed us with" what? "All spiritual blessings." Now, notice that little word, "all." Everything that we need to be content, everything we need to live successful as a Christian, everything we need to fight temptation, everything we need to be happy in Jesus is given to us. That is all spiritual blessings. Now, the difference between spiritual blessing and a temporary blessing is temporary blessings passes away. Spiritual blessings are forever. You never lose them. And notice that the Bible says all spiritual blessings. In other words, not part, but when you got saved, you inherited all spiritual blessings. You may not understand what these spiritual blessings are. The more that you will understand the spiritual blessings we're fixing to get into, the more you'll praise God, and the more you'll be thankful to God. Now notice here where they originated from. The Bible says all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places. They came from heaven. They didn't originate down here. They were far above anything that we could come up with. They came from heaven. And notice the qualification: in Christ. Now, what are these spiritual blessings? Look if you would in verse 4. "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now, it's important to understand that God never intended to bless any man outside of Christ. Now, this is important to get a hold of. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I'm all that, so God blesses me." The only reason you get blessed is because of Christ. Everything that you receive from God, look, you didn't know this, and maybe you did. We all had to learn it. When you started out, you were here, God was here. You're an enemy. You weren't a friend of God. You were the enemy of God. Did God love you? He so loved you that he gave his son. But he gave his son, that through his son, that you could come to know him and you could come to be saved in spite of yourself, in spite of who you are, in spite of what you are. And by the way, and so therefore he says, according he had chosen us in him, in Christ. You say, "Well, what do you mean by chosen? Does that mean that he picked her and denied her and picked her and denied her?" No. What he did in his foreknowledge, before the foundation of the world, look back in verse number 4 a minute. Notice what he says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, because of his love, what he did was he took us, and even though we were sinners and guilty and enemies of God, in Christ Jesus, before Adam and Eve was ever made, God predetermined, predestined. He already decided that the only way that you could come to him and receive blessings from him is through Christ. And so it was decided a long time ago, before Adam and Eve, it was already decided that Jesus was going to come into this world and die for the world, because God had the foreknowledge of knowing that when he created man, man was going to sin. Amen. So what he did was this. You say, well, who are the chosen? The chosen are everyone, and I'll show you this in a moment if you'll stay with me. The chosen is everyone who has believed and trusted in Christ. If she believes and trusts in Christ, she's a chosen one. If she doesn't, she's not. She cannot receive these spiritual blessings unless she does it in Christ. The only access we have to these spiritual blessings, and by the way, we have access to all of them. The only access you have of being chosen by God is to do it through Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't do it. So you can't be one of the elect. You can't be one of the chosen, regardless of what people teaches you. And somebody says, well, Jews, we'll get into Jews in just a moment. You can't be a chosen unless you do it in Christ. And God predetermined that from the foundation of the world. He decided if you want to be a part, and what you're going to do is you're going to come to him, and in love, you're going to love him because of what Christ has done. You're going to love him because he first loved you. And for God so loved the world, they gave his only begotten son. And so when you come to recognize that and you receive his son, then you love God. And so therefore, you become one of the chosen. Okay? So number one, we have a spiritual blessing of God that nobody can take away, is that we have been chosen from the foundation of the world. Look in verse 5. Having predestinated, that word predestinated basically means to be marked out in advance. It means to already be appointed beforehand. So he says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to good pleasure of his will. We not only experience the foreknowledge of God, we become part of the family of God. Now, the word adoption in the Roman law and teaching, the word adoption means that they would take, well, for instance, like if Vicky, if she adopts Mary Beth, wherever she's back there, she adopts Mary Beth. Basically, in the Roman law, they would take Mary Beth from the authority of her, she's looking at me, she knows I'm talking about her. They take her from the authority of her natural father and put her under authority of her adopted father. What happens is this. Before we get saved, Jesus looked at Jews. They said, we're of our father, Abraham. He said, no, you're not. You're of your father, the devil. So what happens is this. Another spiritual blessing, not only being chosen, the foreknowledge of God, but also being predestined, already predetermined in God's mind that what he was going to do is he was going to take us out of one family, out of authority of under the authority of our father, the devil, and he was going to adopt us into his family through Christ Jesus, and now we were under his authority. And to every son he loveth, he chasteneth. And somebody said, well, preacher, if I believe in eternal security, I just do whatever I want to do. Well, not if you understand that God, you're under God's authority now. And daddy give you spanking every now and then. He give you licking because he loves you. To every son that he loveth, he chasteneth. Right? Now, if you don't believe that, look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. Now, look on. Look in verse number 6. Then not only do we have family and brought into the adoption of children through Christ Jesus. Notice this is always through Christ. That's where all spiritual blessings come, because they came down from heaven. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now remember, grace is unmerited favor. In other words, it's favor that you get from God that you don't deserve. So look here. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In other words, Brother Porter here, I'll use him for example. He came to God. God said, no, you can't come to me. You're nothing but filthy rags. You're a sinner. I'm righteous. You can't come to me. And Brother Porter said, well, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Just like that young rich young ruler. You can't do nothing. You're a sinner. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. You can't come to me because of your righteousness. You want to come to me? It's going to be my by grace. I'm going to show you a favor. My favor, in other words, I'm going to divinely give you a favor that you don't deserve. And so for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And so when you come, you can't boast of yourself. You got to boast of Jesus. And so if you're going to come and say, listen, man, I'm saved. You don't give praise to yourself. You give praise to Jesus. Amen. Because you were accepted through him. You got it? Amen. So again, a spiritual blessing that we have is not only the foreknowledge of God, not only be brought into the family of God, but also to get a divine favor from God, something we don't deserve. You say, well, preacher, everybody can get that. They can get it, but they don't have it. So stay with me a little bit longer. Look in verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Now, redemption means a release of a slave after the price or the ransom has been paid. There's three words that redemption means in the Bible, and this one here just happens to be that definition. In other words, it is a release of a slave after a price has been paid. Now stay with me a minute, and I know I've taught on this, so I'm not going to spend time on it, but let me say this. That is why everybody in the Old Testament, when they died, didn't go up in heaven when they were saved. They went to Abraham's bosom. And if you notice in the Bible, in the Old Testament, every time somebody died, except when Elijah and some of those that didn't have to face death, everybody else who died, they went down into the heart of the earth. And remember, Jesus, when he died upon the cross of Calvary, before he went up into heaven, he had to go down to the heart of the earth. Ephesians chapter 4 says this, he who ascended had to first descend to the lower parts of the earth to lead captivity captive. What did he go down there to lead captivity captive? Who was the ones he led? Well, when you remember Luke chapter 16, remember the rich man died, he was lost, and in hell he opened up his eyes being in torment. Remember Lazarus died and was carried into Abraham's bosom, into paradise by angels. Remember that? And remember the rich man could look across and see Abraham, and Abraham and him talked to each other. Remember that? And remember Abraham told him there was a great gulf between there because they were both in the heart of the earth. What were they waiting on? They were slaves waiting to be freed, but the price had to be paid. And the ransom had to be paid. So what happened was when Jesus died, instead of going up to heaven when he died, the Bible says he went down to the earth. Remember the thief on the cross that was hanging beside of him? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He went down to the heart of the earth. And what he did was he took Abraham and all those that was waiting, and he took them up there, and he took them into heaven. And what happened was he paid the price. What was the price? His blood. The Bible calls it in Peter, his precious blood. We were not redeemed by silver and gold, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Remember whenever Mary saw him after his resurrection and she started touching him, he says, touch me not, I have not sinned his father yet. He had to go up there and take the blood. He was doing the work of the high priest on the Day of Atonement. He took him, he applied the blood to the mercy seat. And what happened was when his blood was paid, Then what he was able to do was, he was able to take all those, and if you read Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 through 53, after Jesus' resurrection, graves began to burst open. And all them old saints resurrected, and they went up to heaven. Now whenever we die, to be absent from body, be present with the Lord. But the reason why we do that is because of the fact of the redemption of Jesus. He paid the price for us. You got to get that. That is part of your spiritual blessings. You will never lose a spiritual blessing. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, whenever you get up to heaven, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we will always be praising Jesus because of his shed blood. It is a spiritual gift that was gave to us in heavenly places in Christ. Therefore, we rejoice because of our blessings and because of the spiritual blessings we have. Nobody can take away that spiritual blessing. Stay with me a little bit longer. Not only do we have redemption, we have forgiveness of sins. Look on, if you would, in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In other words, it's not something you deserve, but it's something that God has given you. In other words, he has forgiven your sins, your past sins. This is hard for us to understand. Your past sins, your present sins, your future sins was all paid by the ransom of the blood. Amen. Now, man, that's hard. You not only have redemption nobody can take away, you have forgiveness and nobody can take that away from you. Your sins have been forgiven. You say, well, preacher, what if I sin again? They've already been forgiven through the blood of Jesus, but God deals with you as with a child, a son. Okay? Now stay with me. Look in verse 8. In verse 8 it says this, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, wisdom here, and he's talking about God here, wisdom means that he has a knowledge of the true nature of how things are. And his actions put into play to deal with the way things actually are. Now, let me try to get that across to you. A spiritual blessing that we have is that God acted upon us in wisdom and prudence. What he did was, he knew we couldn't help ourselves. He knew we couldn't save ourselves. So therefore, in his wisdom, understanding exactly the nature of things, as only God knew, in his foreknowledge of knowing how everything would be, he acted by sending his son to become like us, only without sin, to be accepted in the Father. And so, therefore, we have a spiritual blessing of the fact of the wisdom and prudence of God. Now, look in verse 9. Not only does God have that and act upon it, but when we get saved, then one of the spiritual blessings we have is he also enlightens us with it. Look in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, and by the way, anyone outside of Christ can never understand what God has done. They just don't get it. It's beyond their understanding. But because one of the spiritual blessings we have is made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And notice verse 10, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In other words, he said, you know where Christ said, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said at some given time, through Christ, he's going to gather everything together. Now, the dispensation of times that he's talking about here is pointing to the time of the kingdom when he will set up his kingdom. The Gentiles and the Jews that are saved will be brought in. And they will be there and Christ will reign and he will do the things and he will have brought all things together. And so therefore, when we look at the next two verses and we see the word we, it's not talking about we. Paul's talking about him and the Jews, not we's. Look in verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after counsel of his own will. In other words, there was a destination that God made that to Israel and what would happen with the Jews in the dispensation of time, that the Jews would all be saved in a day one of these days. They would come to know Christ, their Messiah. They would be exalted as a nation. They would worship him, and they would honor God through Christ. And God already predetermined that. So Paul's talking about we when that happens with we. And so therefore, in God's wisdom, he worked out, because in God's wisdom, what he did was, one day upon this earth, he went to a man named Abraham. He said, I want you to come, Abraham. He said, Abraham, look up the stars. See those stars? Your seed's going to be as many as the stars in the sky. Look at the sand of the sea. See those sand, Abraham? Your seed's going to be like the sand of the sea. And he said, also, Abraham, I'm going to make you this promise in Genesis chapter 12. He said, now I'm going to create a nation out of you. And he said, Abraham, I'm using Brother Junior. Him and Abraham was friends years ago. But what happened is this, that he looked at Abraham and he said, Abraham, every nation that will bless you, I'm going to bless. Every nation that curses you, I'm going to curse. So what happened is, and he said, now, Abraham, out of your loins, out of your nation, out of the Jews will come salvation. And I will bring salvation. In other words, Christ would be coming out of Abraham's loins. And so Christ come, and he come as a Jew. So here Paul is talking about that in God's foreknowledge and forethought and planning, he planned to bring the Jews out. Look in verse 12. That we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, some people said, well, preacher, I've had some people sit over there on the first part of this chapter, and boy, they get stuck on that predestination. All those chosen, they get stuck on that. But now notice these words they use. He said, Jews, you're only saved because you first did what? What's that little word starts with a T-R-U-S-T-E-D? They had to act upon it. To trust is to act upon it. The Jews that were saved acted upon Jesus. Their belief in Jesus, that's why they were there. Now, because of that, and because of God's planning through the Jews, and because of his foreknowledge and his planning that down the road, he's going to have a kingdom here, and Christ is going to reign. All those things are things that God has done pre-planned and predetermined. But look on in verse number 13. Now he gets off the we of the Jews, and he gets on the ye of us, the Gentiles. He said, in whom ye also what? In other words, God didn't just choose you and didn't choose you and choose you and didn't choose you. He chose the ones that was willing to trust. And those who trusted got the spiritual blessings. Look on. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. How did you come about trusting? By hearing the word of truth. In other words, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you heard the word of God preached and you trusted in what it said about Jesus, you become saved. Look on. He said the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye what? Believed. Ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, remember, another spiritual blessing we have is this. You have been sealed with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says also that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. In other words, but to be sealed, the word to be sealed means that God has put his stamp upon you. It also means that God has enclosed you. It means that God has sealed you. And if you read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says there is a seed in you that cannot sin. And what happens is the Holy Ghost of God seals that. And what he does is he seals you until the day of redemption. And when you are sealed, That means you are protected, and someone greater than God has to come in there and take away you from him. But remember, a spiritual gift is something you can never lose. You never lose the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sealed you. The moment you got saved, you were sealed. Now notice the last verse in verse 14. Now, when the Bible here uses the earnest of inheritance, it means, the word earnest means a down payment. Notice what it says in verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In other words, he said, now listen, you're not perfect, but the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in, he sealed you. He also witnesses with your spirit. He also leads you. He guides you in all truth. He comforts you. He convicts you. He draws you. He all kinds of things the Holy Spirit does. He said, he said, now you've got the flesh down there, but I've given it to you as an earnest, as just a little down payment. He said, when you get up here, all your flesh will be left behind. You won't have any temptations, any lust. You won't have the lust of the flesh. You won't have the lust of the eyes. You won't have the pride of life. No pride up in heaven. When you get up there, you'll have your soul and your spirit and a new body. And instead of having just a small token of the spirit, you'll be full of the spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. And he said, nobody can take that away from you. You got that. So what we need to understand is this, folks. When you sit here and you say, man, I've been blessed with a new car. Man, I've been blessed with a new job. I've been blessed with a healthy body. Well, what happens when that healthy body goes? What happens when the car breaks down? What happens when you lose a loved one? What happens when you don't have your family no more? What happens when all these temporal blessings come along? We still rejoice in Christ Jesus because of all the spiritual blessings that he has given us through Christ Jesus. And so if we have believed and trusted, we get everything we need. You say, preacher, I don't know how I can get through this. Oh, I do. His grace is sufficient. He has given you that. You got it. You say, oh, preacher, I just don't know that I can bear that. Oh, yes, you can. We can do all things through Christ Jesus to strengthen us. You see, the wonderful thing about spiritual blessings is, man, they're given to us and nobody can take them away. And every blessing that God has for her, he has for me. He has for you. And we all have them. And so even when our temporal blessings seem to fade, we still rejoice in Christ Jesus over our spiritual blessings because of God's great wisdom and his planning from the foundation of the world to give those to us.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Page 260.